This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Someone who lives alone and earns around $11,000 a year is considered to live in poverty. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates that more than 14% of La Crosse County residents live in poverty. The county has the 11th highest poverty rate in Wisconsin. Neighboring Vernon County is in the top 10 with a poverty rate more than 15%. In fact, most of the counties in western Wisconsin exceed the statewide poverty rate of 11%. What's it like to live in poverty, and what's being done to help those in poverty? Today's panelists share their stories and insights in just a few minutes. But we begin with a visit to a red brick home in South La Crosse that's nestled within a family neighborhood. Inside, people in need from all over the community gather for a free meal or a conversation. Place of Grace started 15 years ago after a group of local families recognized an opportunity to help those in need and eventually had the house donated to their cause. The Catholic Worker House is run by two staffers, a Viterbo University student and alum who live in the house. But guests and volunteers are constantly coming and going, and it's sometimes hard to tell who's who. Wisconsin Public Radio's Maureen McCollum visited Place of Grace, where staff member Zach Johnson first walked her through the food pantry, located in a garage in the home's backyard.
January 1st, the shelves were just packed, and now you can see what it is. We're getting down there again. No cereal, no oatmeal, no breakfast food at all. Our fruit's running low. Everything that we do comes from right here. So we cook with this food and give out. It's all in the same pot. Zach Johnson, Viterbo English major and servant leadership minor. I live at the Place of Grace, yeah.
My name is Michael Krieger. I am the Place of Grace house coordinator. Typically on a Tuesday and Wednesday, we do a small meal for the community. We'll get roughly 20 to 30 people in. And today we are in the process of making some gravy and rice. We have a pasta dish going in the oven and also a ham and potato dish on the stove.
Here comes the rice. Into the craft
house. On Thursday nights, we have social workers from Catholic Charities who come to the house to do financial assessments and financial needs such as rent assistance, gas cards, and we're getting roughly now about 18 to 20 people stopping by every Thursday. But generally speaking, for the house itself, one of the, I guess, nice things with this house is just our location. We're in a house where I don't think it's not as intimidating as other facilities because we have a front porch. You walk through the front door and there's couches, actual dining room tables, and so on Thursday night especially, we'll get anywhere from 100 to 130 people coming here for a meal. And it's because of, I think, the relationships that we have here, how we develop relationships with the community and our guests who come, built around a meal but also around conversation. A good point to make is, I think within La Crosse and in the United States, it's not that people are necessarily poor for economic reasons, which is true, but more so oftentimes for social reasons. That they just feel lonely, that they don't have strong relationships with family or the community, and so they feel left out. And I think that is the biggest need that we're able to give to the community, is that we can form relationships with you.
Coming in!
Thank you. Hello.
Felipe Miranda. I'm original from Cuba, so.
Do you come here for lunch, dinner often?
Yeah. Since 1996, very warm place, warm people, warm place to talk to, come here and have a cup of coffee, read the paper, book. If you got kids, you can play with your kids outside. They got a playground outside. My kids, they love to come here. I'm very happy with my children. I got three girls and one boy. So,
do you work or?
No. I had an accident. So, I had a stroke in 2002. I fell down, broke my leg. So, I received a disability. I'm a very generous person. I've been burned too many times, you know, giving people help. But poor me. that's me. You know, I'm a man with a good heart. You know, I just put my chin up and keep moving forward.
Moving forward is sometimes a difficult attitude to maintain for those living in poverty, but there are efforts to help, as we'll hear in today's panel conversation moderated by Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Rysom. Roseanne Hernandez is a single mother from Cashton who is working to get out of poverty, and Grace Jones is executive director of Coolie Cap, an agency that works with people in need. The conversation begins with Roseanne talking about the circumstances that led her into her current state of poverty.
Well, kind of started out on my own and went well in the beginning. Had three jobs, had a went to school to TC part-time, and then had the baby, 3-year-old now. We found out that she's got a cyst on her brain, and we ended up having so many doctor's appointments for her through neurology, and I ended up having to quit my job, and then they didn't need me back, so I got laid off, and ever since then I've had trouble finding a job.
Where are you at right now? What's the situation?
I'm unemployed. I do daycare to try to pay bills, and I'm still falling behind.
What is it like to be in the hole like that?
Well, it is very stressful. Ever since I've been unemployed, I've had nothing but panic attacks, anxiety really bad. I've been so depressed. It's hard. I've applied for assistance through Coolie Cap, which I thank them so much.
What does Coolie Cap supply? What sort of aid?
They help you with the heat assistance, and if extra money, they did help me with my electric bill, which is really nice. And then to go apply for jobs, I do get help from Stephanie with gas vouchers, which really is helpful.
Is there a lot of job opportunities in Cashton?
No, not very much that are hiring.
They're hiring or they're not hiring?
They're not hiring.
What's your car situation?
No car. I had to sell it to pay rent, a couple months in advance on rent.
What was it like for you? I guess, where were you as a kid? Were you in poverty ever before, or is this something kind of new to you?
I honestly don't remember very well, but I could say this is something new to me. I ended up being homeless once.
What so, age?
Actually, it was 2009, 23. With my daughter.
Where, in Cashton? Or
I was in California.
California. Mm-hmm. What brought you to scenic Cashton?
You know, my daughter's dad and his family lived around Cashton, and we ended up moving to a place. I had a job at the IGA, and then everything went downhill again.
How long have you been looking for a job? I know the economy cannot be described by any means as good right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, how long have you been looking?
Since June of 2009.
Where do you apply?
Or 2010, sorry.
Where do you, are you looking at?
I have actually
manufacturing, any kind of work?
Right now, I'm pretty open. I'm looking outside the box. I have experience in the culinary situation, but since not a lot of places are hiring because of the holidays, I'm looking outside the box, anywhere I can find. I've applied probably over 50 places so far. So,
have you met others in poverty like you?
Half of my boyfriend's family is in poverty right now, so they're also getting help from the government, and my boyfriend's mom was homeless, and she ended up going to the Sparta adult home for a little while. She didn't have any other place to go, so she didn't even have electricity. I don't know, she didn't make it very well. She stayed with a couple other people just till she can get assistance through Coolie Cap to get her electricity back on.
So you're not a stranger to poverty, it sounds like. You're fairly well-versed.
I am pretty open to poverty. I hate to say it, but
I guess most importantly, how is your daughter doing?
Well, she is doing really better. We go in every 3 months for a checkup on her brain. She does an MRI. It's scary because they have to put her to sleep and then put her in the machine so they can look at her brain.
And is the cost behind this is really kind of...
Well, I am actually very thankful because I do have medical care for her, so I don't have to pay for it. that helps me out a lot. I do have a copay, though, for her medications. So,
you keeping up with help, with assistance?
Trying. Makes me kind of feel poor. But, you know, I'm always so used to giving and not receiving. And You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but the only way it makes me feel better for me to receive is that all the extra food stamps that I get, I kind of help others out as much as I can if I have extra. So I'm trying to do my good part and then trying to get the help I need to survive.
Where do you want to be in 10 years? Give me an avid description of what you want your future to bring.
This is my picture. I see myself somewhere on the coast with my own restaurant, my own house, no worries, stress free. I see happy things in the future.
Do you keep, with everything going right now, how do you keep your optimism? I'm not saying that things are looking bad for you, because I believe they will not be bad for you. But you, as somebody that's going through poverty, do you look at eventual dreams? Do you look at eventual goals, saying, I'll be living with in a big house with a big poofy dog and three kids and a husband, or whatever that is? How do you keep your optimism?
Just keeping my head up. That's the only thing I think of is my goals and my daughter. That's what keeps me going, you know? I'm not going to give up. Half of my family gave up. Half of my family's sitting on drugs and alcohol and all that, and not me. I see myself out there. I see myself doing the good things, and, you know, it helps that I have a job coach, and I have Coolie Cap, and I have used the waiver a few times, and it helps that they're there, you know, makes you think that you're not alone, and they're there for you to help you along the way.
You mentioned half of your family, drug difficulties and stuff like that. Do you see this as your opportunity to kind of, change the course of your family?
Mm-hmm. If you will? I was the first to graduate high school and the first to attend college. So I can do that. That's what's on the back of my mind. I don't have to be like them. I could be somebody that someone can look up to. I want to be a role model for my daughter. I want to make her have a better life than what I did. That's what I look at. That's what keeps me going, you know? I'm not going to let my daughter sit in that poverty level. I'm going to do the best that I can to make sure she's got roof over her head, she's got heat, she's got the food, and that's what keeps me going.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. The topic today is poverty. And here in La Crosse, 25% of the individual population is considered in poverty. The county's overall poverty rate is 15%, both numbers dramatic from 10 years ago. But let's widen that scope a little bit, stay on the Coolie Camp discussion. I want to bring in Grace Jones at Coolie Camp. The organization covers four counties, La Crosse, Vernon, Monroe, and Crawford. And you folks provide tools and resources to help low-income people get back to self-sufficiency. I guess one term that's kind of been juggled around quite a bit the last few years is it simply lousy economy?
Well, some people will say the best way out of poverty is a job, and although it's a much more complicated issue than that, in our most recent needs assessment, the lack of decent jobs was the number one issue affecting low-income people in our region. So certainly economic development, improved economic development would be helpful. More jobs that pay a living wage and that have benefits that can help people live and survive and afford their expenses would be really very, very helpful. I think it's particularly difficult for single parents. Their poverty rate runs around 35%. So when you look at all the poverty numbers, those folks that are struggling the most are the single parents. And also, poverty for them can lead to things like depression, mental illness. We see with many of the people we try to help a direct relationship between the stresses of being in poverty and depression, and then mental illness. And so a terrible problem is just made all that much worse by depression, which can be pretty incapacitating.
Rosanna, is that all sounding familiar? I mean, not necessarily the mental illness part, but the depression, the anxiety.
Yes, it is hard.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal?
Well, I go see a therapist every week, and I'm on a depression anxiety med that I take every night that helps me sleep, and I'm also on a sleeping med that also falls asleep because I have so much on my mind, like how I'm going to pay my bills and how I'm going to keep a roof over my daughter's head. And I agree, single parents, it is really much harder to try to make ends meet, and the fact that I don't have a job makes it all worse. So I kind of had to force my daughter to be potty trained due to the fact that I didn't have any money for pull-ups. So, but because of that reason, we are fairly poly trained.
Grace, Rosanna's story, does it, it sounds like it's fairly common with, what is it, 35% of single adults, single parents, rather?
Yeah, there were a number of things that Rosanna said that just resonated with me. First, just that overall struggle and how many of the folks we serve do struggle with depression because it's so hard to be in poverty. Also, the fact that a medical issue in a family, like with her, your daughter, that can push any family off track and into poverty, or for a more well-to-do family, it might push them towards foreclosure on their home because the cost of uncovered medical issues, the kind of debt that can run up for a family, the way that working people can actually lose jobs because of how they have to help their children when there's a medical issue, can all roll into a much greater tragedy for the family than just the medical issue. So we see that in any income group, and not just low-income people, but because at Cooley Cap we have foreclosure programs where we're trying to help people facing foreclosure, often medical issues, medical debt, are part of the problem. And with bankruptcies, I believe it's about half of all bankruptcies now are related to medical debt. So Rosanna and her child and their health struggles are part of what's really a national issue. She's not alone. This is millions of people. It's partly why healthcare reform was developed, to try and help people out with things like this.
Is there any correlation between education level and poverty? I think some people assume that there is.
I think anyone can find themselves in poverty. Now, certainly having a good education and good skills is half the battle. But just picture anyone can leave where they're working today, be in a car accident, become disabled, be unable to work, and their income changes drastically at that point. And if so issues like that, the things that we don't even can't control and don't plan for, disabilities, accidents, loss of income, or you're an excellent worker that's worked at a company for quite a while and they close and there are job layoffs. That can have a substantial impact on somebody that's educated and been a great worker. So there are just these circumstances in life that can happen to people that cause them to end up in poverty. And, of course, any kind of illness, disability, job loss can add up to that. What's particularly hard for a low-income family, though, if there can often be little backup there. So like in Rosanna's case, the family itself across the board is low income. So when she gets in trouble, there isn't much there to back her up, bail her out, and help her through because they are also in poverty. That's really tough. People in the middle class, if somebody goes into poverty because of circumstances, there are often family members there that have other resources that they can put in to help the person get through a tough time. But in really low income, where it's pervasive throughout the family, something goes wrong and there's not much there to help that person out or back them up, other than maybe moral support and love. But financial resources are lacking.
Rosanna, do you feel like you're working without a net?
Yes.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I do feel alone.
Are you in contact with your family in California?
No. My parents are deceased.
Okay, so sorry to hear that.
Kind of on my own. The only person I really have to depend on is my boyfriend's family, and they're not really all there for me, and my sister, which is struggling through financial abilities.
Grace, is Cooley Cap keeping up? Well, first of all, before we do that, could you quick kind of run down some the services that Cooley Cap provides, and then I'll ask you my next question.
Sure. As you said, Steve, we're in four counties. Our services vary from county to county, so we try to not duplicate the Goodwill or Salvation Army or other agencies. But in a nutshell, our services range from emergency services, so food pantries, clothing centers in some of the counties, through youth employment and training services. We do quite a bit in the housing area, ranging from homelessness programs through home buyer and then foreclosure services if needed. And then we have some interesting smaller programs where we can help people buy cars to solve the transportation problem. We can help people start a small business if they have an entrepreneurial spirit like Rosanna does and her thoughts about owning and operating a restaurant. But in a nutshell, our services are pretty broad. We try to fill gaps in needs when we identify them in the community and we try to raise resources to meet those needs.
Are you keeping up with demand?
No.
How far off are you?
Well, for many years, there has been a deficit in money for housing rehabilitation for low-income families that own their homes. There are deficits in the homelessness programs, like transitional housing, where we can subsidize somebody's rent for up to 2 years while they get back on their feet and overcome homelessness, get a good job. We were fortunate to receive additional monies through the Recovery Act, ERA funding. So Cooley Cap received $7.7 million through ERA. We were able to help 17,000 people in this region, actually over 17,000 now, with a variety of emergency needs to try and help them avoid eviction, avoid foreclosure, get back on their feet, get them through until they got a new job. That money was really, really helpful. It also has allowed us to weatherize another 900 homes, which helps people with their fuel bills. But most of those dollars are gone now, except for weatherization, and so we're back to a tough economy without those additional resources to help our local people that lose their jobs or are struggling.
With some claim that the economy is turning around, or we're seeing some indications of that, any indication that the workload is, you know, you can't help everybody as much as you want, but is there any indication where cases are not coming in as fast and furious as they were, say, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
We saw the pace double in the fall of 2008, where, and it's kind of the anecdotal, but between Human Services with food stamp or food share applicants and then Cooley Cap with food pantries, there was a surge in the fall of 2008. We saw it happening right away. And then also the foreclosure issues that we were dealing with changed from subprime loans to job loss by the end of 2008. That the increased numbers for us have not slacked off yet. And I know we're all hopeful about the economy and that things will improve, but there's still a huge looming foreclosure crisis nationally and locally as well. That hasn't slowed down. And we haven't seen a drop off in the number of people needing our services. So I don't mean to sound bleak, but just where we are in the trenches, it hasn't slowed down. But we certainly hope it will soon. People, and usually that's a sign that people have been able to find jobs.
We're hearing from the voices of poverty on today's Newsmakers. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Rysom has been talking with Rosanna Hernandez of Cashton, a single mother living in poverty. Also Grace Jones, the executive director of Cooley Cap, an agency that works with people in poverty in western Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll continue the panel discussion about poverty with Cooley Cap Executive Director Grace Jones, and we'll add the perspective of those running a food pantry as we hear from Wafer Executive Director Heidi Blanke. That's coming up in the next half hour. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.